Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 246. I am Chris, and we're almost fully back together.
Almost. We still couldn't manage it.
Tony, Tony is back.
Yes, I'm back. Here I am. Despite the phalanx of police outside, I'm here.
Yes. I want to hear about that.
Jeff is also here, as always.
I made it as well.
Yeah. Fozzie did not. He is on vacation, and he is currently watching Furious 7 in a theater in Florida. So yay him. Peter has decided to jump back in.
What's up, guys?
And we're going to talk some stuff. Everyone's got their beers or waters or sodas. I think just Jeff and Tony are drinking tonight.
Oh boy.
I cannot. I am on prednisone and.
Oh no. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you don't want to drink with that.
That's pain medication?
That's a steroid.
Right, okay. I've been on that before. I forgot.
I have an ear infection and. Yeah, so like prednisone and amoxicillin, and I like looked it up. I was like, "Can I drink with this?" And it's like, "That's probably not a good idea."
It's like instant hangover.
That's what they always say, though. Yeah. You could drink.
Yeah, well, it's like it's a well, because prednisone is a immune system diminisher, and so is alcohol. So it could actually make me more sick to do it. Also like it's you don't want to mix shit with that. Medication because I was like looking at Motrin and it was like if you're on this steroid don't take this for pain relief because your stomach may bleed through. It's like oh this is nasty. What the hell did they give me?
Yeah, prednisone is special.
Yeah, but that's all right. I'll sit here and drink a Coke.
The police are leaving. It's been 3 hours. They're finally breaking it up.
Jesus, finally.
Tony was in the middle of a war zone or something. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, they had my entire. So I live in a complex, and there's I think it's like 18 buildings, and one of the buildings was all blocked off. It was surrounded by police. They had the entrance to our complex cut off. So there were a bunch of there's like this huge crowd of people, just people who were coming home from work who couldn't get in because they weren't allowing any. Cars into the complex, and they're like, the police are like escorting people to their homes one by one. But it seems to have broken up. There was some situation with some guy on the roof, which is about all I know. But
that is better than like what it sounded like originally.
It looked pretty awful. Like they were bringing in SWAT. Like there were armored tactical vehicles and like police command, and there were helicopters and. It looked like something really, really horrible was going on. It ended up being significantly less horrible than that. But.
Jesus.
Yeah. But, I'll tell you, I didn't really put together a plan for tonight's show, so we're just going to kind of, like, run through some stuff we've been playing. Tony hasn't been around for a little bit. Jeff and I played some moderately new stuff. I'm not sure what Pete's been up to, so. Tony, what have you been playing, though?
I have been playing a lot of Cities Skylines.
Yeah!
Or, as I like to call it, the SimCity game we all deserved. Because that game is fun, and it is SimCity. And it's... I mean, it's everything that you wanted out of the last SimCity game that you didn't get.
Okay.
So you start off, you're building your city, and the area you start in is basically the same size as the areas were in the, was it 2013 SimCity?
Right. So not very big.
Not very big, but as your city grows, you can buy the adjacent areas and just make it bigger. So you end up that your city just grows along with you. So instead of like having to cram more stuff into that small amount of space, the space just grows, which is cool. The game isn't as complicated as some of the, like the last SimCity game. I'm gonna pretend that didn't happen, but It's a lot less complicated than, say, SimCity 4 was. It's more of a like a sandbox. You just go here, you build your city, and you play around, and you have fun. It's really moddable. There are tons of mods already doing basically anything that you want. I think there's already a mod that lets you go first person, like walk around your city and see everything.
Wow. So,
yeah. You can do all the fun stuff, infinite money and all that crap, and throw disasters down on your people. It completely lacks all of those social aspects that SimCity had. So this is your playground. You can do with it what you want. You don't have to worry about how it connects to the other cities, and there's no servers or anything like that. It's sad to count that as a feature now, but SimCity has done this to us all.
Right, it's like an online should be like something that like you look forward to having in a game. It's like it's good that this doesn't have it.
Right. but it's SimCity. Like this game, you will, if you play the SimCity game, you will instantly be familiar with, you know, you build your roads, you zone your areas, and the people come in and move, and you're building fire departments and you know, police stations and schools and high schools and colleges and all that stuff. You know, it's you know, your city sandbox, and it's a lot of fun. I've been having a ton of fun with it so far. You can unlock, there's a whole ton of achievements in the game, and you unlock, by completing those achievements, you unlock new buildings. And
okay.
Yeah. So.
Is there kind of like a campaign mode where they want you to do certain things, build certain types of cities, and
there is no campaign.
Okay.
The only game mode I saw when I opened it was like I can build a city, and that's it. And there's a couple cities you can choose from,
which is fine. I mean,
yeah. There. If you're looking for campaign mode and a good like city sim, then Tropico 5 would probably be a better bet.
Okay.
Yeah, buddy.
Anything but SimCity, basically,
yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
That's kind of a shame, but...
The game launched with... I was watching videos of, like, insane traffic patterns and that kind of stuff, like some traffic bugs, and those have already been fixed. So,
oh, wow. Didn't take, like, 6 months for them to...
No, it took about a week.
And shut down part of the game because...
Right.
Cheetah speed is breaking everything. So.
Did they ever wind up turning that back on?
It's back.
Oh,
on.
Oh yeah, it's back.
Okay.
And you can play the game offline now, but don't because it's not very good.
Yeah. Well, play like that game was just so messed up because it was so reliant on you having other people to play with. Like even if you're playing by yourself, you have to run like 3 cities at one time. It's
right.
Crazy.
Because you can't do everything you're supposed to do. Like, I need power.
Right. Do you need
so I got to go to my power city and build another power plant. Because this city's not for that.
It was all built around trading between the cities, which is fine, but it didn't work because it was broken. Like, you weren't able to create a self-sufficient city. You had to, you know, this city has, like, you can get your trash stuff from them or...
That sounds horrible.
It was horrible.
It was.
And the cities weren't big enough. Like, that was why you needed the other cities. You're like, okay, I need to build a power plant, and I have nowhere to put it. All right, guess got to use one of those adjacent cities. It's not fun. And then when the servers would flicker, you'd, like, lose power because the city you were getting power from couldn't give you enough power anymore because you weren't connected.
Right.
Jesus.
Oh, SimCity. But so City Skylines is
and
what
it's
we
cheaper.
Want.
It's only $30, so hop in there, play it around.
Yeah, I will put that on my wish list. So,
in fact, if you get it on Green Man Gaming, you can normally get it for like $22. I think that's what it did.
That's actually fantastic.
Yes. So.
We talked about this a little bit last week. I'm really kind of enjoying the different approach to pricing games from certain publishers and developers, and not everything needs to be $60.
Ooh.
Which allows us more options, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and this game is still one of the best-selling games on Steam. It's been a couple weeks now, so I think it was the game that lots of people wanted after SimCity. Like, where is it? Here it is.
Yeah. That's really kind of cool. Anything else you've been up to?
Let's see. Don and I talked about this on the episode that we recorded by themselves, but I started playing The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about Game of Thrones too, but it's tell us about The Wolf Among Us, because
because I don't like it very much. It seems for me to fit into a slot in between. Like it's not a good game. I don't think it's trying to be a game. In which case, you have to compare it to like a really good movie, and it's not a really good movie either. It's like in this weird middling ground.
So, is it even less of a game than like Walking Dead was?
Oh yeah, no, there's you're hardly doing anything, and some of the choices you make aren't even choices. So, there's in one of the opening scenes, there's this quick time event where someone's being strangled, and you have to like slam the button a bunch of times, and it doesn't matter what you do, the same thing happens.
Oh, that sucks.
Like, it's an auto-fail. You can't succeed at it.
Now, does, like, the fact that you tried mean something? Or... because that would happen in Walking Dead, too, where, like, the character would survive, but, like, whether you tried to save them or not would affect the relationship?
Well, in this case, it's, you're trying to save yourself, so...
Oh, I guess not then.
And, like, some of the dialogue choices, like, I'm picking things in the dialogue, and I'm picking, like, the soft choice, like, I'm trying to sympathize with the person, and then they say a line of dialogue back, and I don't get to respond because my character has already responded for me without me choosing anything, and it's like the sarcastic thing that ruins our relationship. I'm like, why am I even here? Why am I choosing anything at all? It completely removes my feeling of agency from the game, which is why you're playing a game. Like, if I wanted to watch a movie, I'd be watching a movie. And if you compare this to a movie, the dialogue isn't very good. The plot isn't very good. It's great for a game. Dialogue is great for a game. But I'm supposed to have agency in a game. So if I don't have agency, then this isn't a game. So I have to compare it to something else. I compare it to a movie, and it's, you know, C-movie dialogue. Passable plot. I just... I'm wondering what I'm trying to get out of this experience, and I'm not, like, feeling satisfied in any of it.
Ouch! I think the writing is better than you're letting on. And I don't even like The Wolf Among Us as much as, like, the other games.
It's, like, I enjoy The Wolf Among Us. It's probably my second favorite Telltale game. After it, I'm really enjoying Tales of the Borderlands. I think that has way better writing than anything in the Telltale stuff. But, Jeff, you've been playing Game of Thrones... and you think Tony might like this more, although based on what he's saying, I don't think he enjoys the Telltale style of approach at all, so.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with him that, like, yeah, you know, like, and even more so than when they first came out, like the first Walking Dead had, like, puzzles and shit, and now...
Yeah, like, it's become, like, a dialogue tree game.
But I think I've already, like, said this before. I'm like, that's what I like in their games is the dialogue shit. Like, I don't want to... Like, anytime the game stops, it makes me walk around and do puzzles.
Or
it pisses me off.
Right. Anytime you have to play...
Yeah.
It, play it from a traditional sense where you're actually having to, like, do something else in the game. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, Chef. Like, I think the dialogue stuff is...
It's at. It is like watching a TV show or something, but, like, you have some influence on what's going on. Like, you can change, you know... And I don't know how much you can change things, because I don't replay their games. I just accept that the way I played it is, like, that's the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we did have... I mean, we had a little bit of this conversation in our Game of the Year podcast. What was it, 3 years ago now?
Probably.
Whichever the first Walking Dead year was.
Yeah, I think it was 2012-ish. Whatever that one was. And, like, kind of my complaint, though, was that we all ended up in the same exact area, even though I made completely different choices than you and Fozzie did.
Yeah.
And, like, to me, and for that game in particular, by making those other choices, they expected you to make the choices that, that you and Fozzie did. So, like, when you finally got to that culmination point, all that stuff kind of made sense.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why he was but it made zero sense for why he was angry at me. I don't know. I still enjoy it. Like, I enjoy them. But what's making Game of Thrones solid for you?
Well, I just, like I was saying before the show, I have more investment in Game of Thrones. Like, I have zero investment in The Wolf Among Us. Like, I forgot the name of Fables, the comic that it's based on.
Right.
Like, I've never read that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, which should make The Wolf Among Us more exciting for me, I guess, because, like, you know, it's something new. But, I don't know, Game of Thrones is cool because, like, you're going through as this, like, other family who is, like, you know, kind of mentioned, you know, in the show.
Yeah, they're like a side character. Like, they exist.
But you'll, yeah, but you're, like, at these, like, key events. Like, the newest episode, you're at Joffrey's wedding, you know, but you're, like, not inside the wedding. But you're standing outside talking to someone, and you see, like, these doves start to fly above, and you're like, oh, shit, dude, he's just about to fucking die, you know?
Right.
That's what's really cool about it to me, like, and just plus it's more Game of Thrones shit. Like, I don't think it's quite on par with the show or anything, but, like, it's done in the same, like, style of the show and generally well-written, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. I don't dislike them. It's just, it's not my favorite part of that Telltale stuff.
I get more excited for them, but the problem with me with this, like, this season or series in particular is, like, dude, I forget what's going on by the time next episode comes out. And I have to be, like, halfway through the next episode and be like, oh, yeah, someone did try to kill her in the garden. Like, you know, I completely forgot about that because I was fucking 2.5 months ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, their release schedule does not do them any favors for what's supposed to be a super interconnected storyline.
I mean, they've been better with Game of Thrones than, say, Tales from the Borderlands, which just had episode 2 come out.
Is that like 4 or 5 months later?
Yeah. Yeah, so try and remember that shit.
Or, that's why I wait at this point. Like, it feels right. I didn't play Walking Dead until everything was out, and it felt so much more cohesive. Right.
Even The Wolf Among Us, I bought the whole thing at once. I'm touching that until it's done.
Right, well,
you end up with Kentucky Route Zero, which is on, like, episode
3. Yeah, I saw Brian was tweeting about that. He was like, does anybody remember, like, Kentucky Route Zero? You know, that game that he bought 2 years ago? And it's only 3 episodes in out of 5.
Like, I imagine with a story like that, it's...
Yeah, I haven't touched it since episode 1 because they've been so spread out. Which is a shame because Capcom just proved that you can do episodic content on, like, a regular schedule, and it makes it so much better.
So here's my question with comparing that, though. Do you think it has to do, like, with Resident Evil, there weren't any choices that you made that carried over to each episode, right?
I think, no, there's not, but I think that it just comes down to they had their game finished, and...
So they waited until they had done each episode.
Right, so, like, that game was done, and then they split it up into, you know, 4 pieces, and then released it once a week, and then at the end of it all, like, if you wanted to wait for it all to come out, it was all there.
I guess Telltale doesn't really have the excuse of, like, not having the money to do it anymore. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, back when The Walking Dead came out, you could imagine that they were in such dire straits that each episode paid for the next one. But
sure.
Now they have four series running at once. They can't possibly have that.
Yeah, you have a contract with HBO. You have 2K putting money into you. You still have, like, The Walking Dead stuff. You know, they just Microsoft just signed on with them for the Minecraft one.
Like, that's right.
And they have people approaching them to do these games based on their properties. Like, yeah, I don't think that they're hard up for cash. I think that they just overextend themselves. And, like,
feel free to say no to some of these if you can't actually accomplish them.
Right, or go, hey, like, yeah, we'll take that on, but it's not coming out, like, anytime soon.
Like I wonder if they have deadlines they have to meet. Like, you know, HBO says, hey, you do this, but we want the first episode by such a date. And so they don't have the time to make all five episodes at once, necessarily. Maybe the more licensed products, you know, I imagine with, like, Fables or something like that, they have more leeway.
Well, I'm sure even with Game of Thrones, like, they probably were like, hey, we want this out, you know. We'd like this wrapped up by the time the show starts in April, because it should have been.
Yeah.
Like, I think the first one came out in November. It's six episodes. It should have been done by April. Like, and it is April now, and we're just getting episode three, so...
When does the new season premiere? That's in, like, 2 weeks, right?
April 12th?
Oh, shit, yeah. That's
sound all
right? Damn. That's right after Daredevil comes out. Yeah. Nice. Ugh. Release schedules.
Right. I don't know. So, Jeff, you are enjoying it, though? Like, there was stuff in that one that was good, or... I haven't played it yet, so...
Oh, well, I can't really say much, but... I mean, it felt like a middle episode.
Okay.
So, don't expect anything, like, crazy, but... I don't know. It's got me excited for what's to come.
So, do you feel like... Because with all the other properties, like, you are just in a separate part of the universe, or... You know, like, with The Walking Dead, or... With Fables, you just...
No, dude, you're a prequel. Like,
but with this one, do you feel like you're making any significant...
You're point? Entwined with, like... Your family has people in, like, all corners of the fucking earth there or whatever. Like, you know, you have a sister in King's Landing, and she's, like, a handmaiden for Margaery, and she's, like, trying to get money out of them to help her family and shit. Like, I don't know. So, like... Are you impacting the main plot of Game of Thrones? I don't know, not really. It doesn't seem like it.
Well, that was my question. Like, ultimately, because this takes place during third season or fourth season, like, they have to obey what's already happened.
They do, yes. Yeah, they do. But, like, I don't know.
Everything you do, whether it's, like, interplays with the main characters from the series... impacts your family in a way. Like, that's really what you're trying to...
So it's more about them.
Yeah, you're trying to keep them intact. Like, I mean, you have like a squire that was sent up to the wall, so he's dealing with Jon Snow, and you have like the handmaiden that Jeff just talked about with Margaery, and she's like making deals with Tyrion, and then there's a brother. I only played the first two, but he's over in like Pentos area, like. Which is where Daenerys is around.
Yeah.
Like, marine area, and he's being, like, summoned to come home, but he's not sure if he's going to be able to make it, and...
They want him to, like, round up an army. It's like, they have these people scattered all over, and they want, like, certain things from them. And, you know, so you get to see all different parts of Game of Thrones, like, and it plays into, like, what you've seen on the show.
Right.
I don't know how much, like, it would be cool if somehow you, like, had some impact on the main story, but... I kind of doubt that.
Yeah, especially where it's taking place and how it is how it's taking place. I don't see much impact on.
But you know what? I want to be able to kill Ramsay in it, dude.
Do you think that's not going to happen? Had it like part of the books universe instead of the TV show, or does it make it better because it's part of the TV show?
Jeff, I mean, I have an opinion. I mean, so for me, I think people know the TV version. Not that people don't know the book version, but like those are characters that are familiar for more people, I think, with the TV show.
Now, but like, what about Walking Dead? That I mean, that's literally the most popular show on television right now.
Right.
But they did it with the comics instead of the television.
Well, they I mean, they didn't even really do it with the comics. Like, they just did their own thing. Like, that just takes place in the world of The Walking Dead. And by episode two of that series, there's nobody from the show or the comic, really, like...
True.
That you're taking part with. Like, it's all... It's just another story that's happening in that universe, kind of like the spin-off series that they're doing for the TV show. And
Fear of the Walking Dead.
That's a terrible name.
But it's the worst.
But yeah, I think like that world just, like, I mean, it's a cliched horror world. Zombies, you can do whatever you want with it. And
sure. Yeah.
Call it what it is.
I guess it's only Walking Dead in name and only at that point.
Right.
Okay. I was just curious, because I haven't played Game of Thrones at all yet. I was just wondering how that worked out.
And, I mean, you run the risk, though, of if you were just to do it like, this is based on the books, then you have to, like, recreate, like, some of those characters. If you're going to do this same storyline, you have to recreate Tyrion and, you know, Cersei, and people already have, like, an image of what they look like, even if that's not the image that you portrayed in the book. Like, the public image is, like, Tyrion looks like Peter Dinklage. Like,
true, yeah.
And I always found that weird, because I think there was a Lord of the Rings game that was not based on the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had
War of the Ring or something.
And then they had, like, movie-based games, and I always found it weird, just like, all right, well, this Aragorn doesn't look like that Aragorn, and...
Yeah. No, I imagine that starts to get, like, if you're trying to have a consistent vision of your property.
Yeah. It's weird. So, Tony, I don't think Telltale is for you.
No, I don't. I think I'm giving up.
Have you played Life is Strange at all?
No.
Okay. I was just, it's another episodic thing. I was just curious what you thought of that compared.
I mean, there's for that, I think Tony would say there's probably more game involved.
Yeah,
because you do have a little more agency over, you know, her story, but
there's very light puzzle solving.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else, Tony?
Have I played anything else? I don't think so.
Jeff?
Did we leave
Yeah.
Jeff died. R.I.P.
Bloodborne.
So last week you had played about 6 hours of it.
Yeah.
You don't sound super thrilled with, like, tell us about Bloodborne.
I've probably put about 40 hours into it now.
Jesus
or so.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Holy shit.
All right.
That escalated right. Quickly.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, dedicate yourself to it, but it's good. Very good. Like,
do you feel like you're almost finished?
I was looking at, like, a boss list online yesterday, and I have just tonight beat the 7th boss.
What's the name? If you remember.
What was the name of
Rom? Was that what I saw on?
Rom the something.
Rom Emmanuel.
Rom the something spider. It's like this big fat slug that spawns a shitload of spiders all around him.
Yeah. Okay.
It said he was 7 out of 17, but a lot of the bosses are optional.
Yeah, for sure. And there's even a secret one after the technical final one, too.
Okay. So. Weirder. I feel like I'm far because, like, there's, like, a hub world with, like, you know, 3 gravestones, and I'm at, like, the last gravestone in terms of levels. Like, you know, so I feel like I'm late in the game. Okay. Unless there's, like, more gravestones I haven't noticed. I don't know.
No, there's only 3. How are you feeling about the combat? You weren't too keen on that last week.
Combat's fine. I don't know. It's just the game is very tough early on, in my opinion, and as it goes on, you become reacquainted with playing this style of game, etc. You become more powerful. And the best thing is, like, dude, you think it's, yeah, super hard, but I could go back and fight, like, 2 or 3 bosses back and just slaughter that fucking thing, no problem. So, like, you do become more powerful. It's just every new area you find is daunting at first, you know? Forgot what else I was going to say, but I played a lot of it. It's kind of not a pleasure thing. It's just like a problem that you have, and you have to keep doing it.
That sounds like a drug addiction.
Yeah. I think, yeah, like an addiction, yeah.
Like this Don't you feel, like, accomplished? Like
it's very satisfying when you beat it. Like, when you get past an area you've been stuck in for a day or two. I still remember Vicar, I forgot, I don't know how to say it, Vicar Amelia.
Yeah, Vicar Amelia.
That boss was such a fucking bitch. And I summoned, like, 10 fucking people before I finally, like, I waited and got 2 people to come help me, and, like, they were good finally. Like, that's one thing I'm finding in this game is, like, a lot of people you summon are not very good at the bosses you're summoning them at.
I do wonder if that is kind of just the PlayStation hasn't had a whole lot of exclusives, and Sony is selling this hard.
Yeah, like, I think this has gone a little more mainstream almost than the other games I've done. You know what I mean?
So I mean, I've been hearing there's been a lot of returns from people.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
basically. Can't get past the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there has been. But those people are pussies, because all you gotta do is hang with it. And the funniest thing I found out yesterday, like, at the beginning of the game, you pick a class. And I picked mine was Waste of Skin, because I thought it sounded funny. And they're like, you are nothing, you are less than nothing. And I was like, that's hilarious.
No.
Like, that's your background. And I guess you, like, that gives you, like, way lower stats to start with. So that's why it took me, like, 6 hours to get past the first boss.
Yeah, is that the naked guy in Dark Souls?
You're not naked, but essentially, yeah, that's, like, the class I chose.
Man, so then, actually, when you beat the game, you should feel even more accomplished.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. I mean, so I feel like I'm getting pretty far.
You started even a further deficit.
I'm still thinking that, like, this is a game I pick up when it's, like, $20.
The thing is, it's time investment. So are you willing to put the time? Because, like...
So I'm, like, I put, like, 40 hours into Dark Souls, and I didn't make it very far. So I'm not sure if I'm willing to do it with this either. This sounds... Just the combat system sounds a little more difficult. Like not
it's
not
really similar. Like,
not so much more difficult, but not my type of playstyle for this game. Like in Dark Souls, I was very much like a hide behind my shield or fight from range, and like everything I'm hearing about this is you need to be like right up close. Like you can't really fight from range in this.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way. I'd always hang back and use magic and shields and shit. But, like, the thing about this game is if you're, like, trading hits with the person you're fighting, like, you're gaining your health back as you do it. So it's... Especially if you're running...
There's a risk-reward thing going on.
Well, it's just if you're not, like, excellent at it, it doesn't matter. You can kind of just spam R1 and, like, you'll trade hits with the guy. And if as long as you're keeping up with him... Like, you'll be getting your health back, so, I don't know. It makes it a little easier. It makes the hand, like, the close-up combat like that easier than it would be in Dark Souls, I think.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know if I have that type of time.
You don't.
But you can get past it. Like, it's just, especially if you summon, like, eventually you're going to get someone that will be able to help you, like... It's just the thing. That's the other thing. Like I hate about all these games, but especially this so far, I've noticed is that when I go to summon people, I could be waiting for like a half hour.
Really?
Yeah.
No wonder this is taking like 40 hours or whatever.
Exactly. It's like if you're willing to put, it's like just sit there and like I don't know, smoke a cigarette, eat a sandwich, take a shit, and then all of a sudden, finally, you can go fight the boss again.
But you feel you need to, like, summon people to fight these bosses or beat these bosses?
I've come close to beating a few of them on my own, but yeah, fuck yeah, dude. My job is to run like a little bitch through the level, past all enemies, find the boss, and summon someone to beat them for me. That's how I fucking play.
Wow.
I'm not sure that's a great...
This sounds like so much fun, Jeff. This is the best game ever.
You can totally fucking run past, like, once you learn your... like pathway through a level, you could run past all the enemies and just go straight to where you're going.
Okay.
And yeah, you have to fight to level up and shit, but like generally, like that's how I play. Fucking run.
All right,
well, that's something.
Basically, I play the game wrong, like a big pussy, and I somehow get pretty far on them.
And you're waiting on a code for Axiom Verge, right? Like Is that what it last?
Yeah. See, yeah, if we get it.
Yeah.
That looks so good.
I don't know, I mean, evidently it's a good game. I read some disappointing things from, like, some bigger reviews, I guess. That it, like, doesn't... It kind of relies too much on the Metroid nostalgia, but...
I read some... Like, I was reading people on message boards saying that, like, the map system is confusing, and it's easy to, like... Like, once you beat an area, go, okay, where the fuck am I going now? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that was one of Phil Kohler's issues with the game on in his review, where you'd end up with, like, some... You'll get, like, a weapon on one end, and then it's, like, you end up having to, like, go all the way across the map to the other side to be able to, like, unlock what you need to unlock. And it, it can get really... tedious.
For bonuses or like story stuff?
For the actual main story, like for the campaign.
I mean, Metroid games will kind of do that too, but like I heard here it's even more like the map is hard to read and it's right. just confusing. You're just like, okay, like you have to like look up how to get like where you're going next. But I want to play it. Like, it, I mean, I love those types of games. It looks just like a Metroid ripoff, dude.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it actually looks very much like a Metroid ripoff, all the way down to like the 16-bit type graphics. Which,
yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel I might be over that at this point.
I love that look, especially the big bosses in that style. I don't know.
Yeah, the boss design looks pretty interesting at the very least.
I like it to an extent, but I don't know. Push the hardware some.
No, yeah, but this is... I think this is a game maybe, like, one person or whatever, so sure. I can't accept it, you know? But yeah, what I'd love to see, like, fucking graphic-heavy, like, Metroid-style game, fuck yeah, dude. Well, like, Ori and the Blind Forest, there you go.
Right, and I will be playing that at some point. Or, like, give me Shadow Complex 2.
Ooh.
They should do that. That was a good seller, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell... Epic,
chair.
Right.
They went to go make the mobile game. What was it?
The basically
Infinity
the
Blade.
The Punch Out fantasy game.
Yeah, and that made them way more money, so they just kept doing that.
I don't know. Just give it to us. Give us Shadow Complex too.
It's good. But more than anything, Nintendo, give us Metroid. God damn it.
All right, well, we will talk about Nintendo.
Nintendo doesn't give you the things that you want, Jeff.
Apparently things other people want, because Amiibos, they're amazing.
No, we'll talk about Amiibos. Pete, have you been playing anything, though?
Yeah, I finished Shadow Mordor, finally.
Okay.
That game really drags towards the end. And I don't know if that's because I did a bunch of side content and stuff, but towards the end, I was real thankful it was done. People were not kidding when they said the ending of that game is just fucked up. Like, not in, like, that's in, like, a design way. Like, it totally, like, screws the pooch on the whole thing. It's amazing.
Huh.
The basic story is that you're pursuing the guy who killed
your wife,
your
right?
family and all that stuff, right? And so you think there's going to be this big epic boss battle, because there have been other sort of boss encounters throughout the game. And then the whole thing plays out like the end of Halo 4, where it's just like a
quick time event?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's only like 3 button presses too. It's not even like that epic or anything. It's really anticlimactic. And I know the story isn't the main purpose of playing that game, but at some point, you know, like the idea of like a revenge story set in Lord of the Rings sounded kind of cool. And I started like warming to the idea as the story went on, and then it ended the way it did, and it was like, okay, that. Well, it's over now, at least.
Huh.
So, I mean, it's...
You recommend playing it, though?
Yeah, I mean, if you love Batman combat, like, and this is really, really violent Batman combat, go for it. Like, some of the characters are kind of fun, but just, like, killing the orc, like, it's almost a game worth playing entirely for the gameplay. Because it's just so much fun. Like,
seemed to be the conclusion that we came to last year. Tony, you and Fozzie really liked
playing it. That game was a lot of fun.
And I assume the Nemesis system works out really well for a lot of people. I didn't die too much in the game, so it didn't do a whole lot for me. And I don't think that's, like, that's not a brag. I just think the game is easy. In many cases, especially because one of the perks you can get in the beginning of the game is to give yourself a second chance after
your health.
Which I think kind of defeats the entire purpose of the Nemesis system. Like, if you could just... I would have died so many times over if that system weren't in the game. So, that's a little weird. But otherwise, I played the second episode of Life is Strange.
Okay.
Which I really liked. I really like that a lot. I know the writing is kind of dumb, and it is. But there's something oddly earnest about it and what it's trying to do that I think it deserves a lot more credit than people are giving it right now, but I feel like I'm alone in that.
I mean, I've only played the first episode so far, but I really liked it, so...
Yeah, the second episode is... I really like games that reward exploration without telling you that you're supposed to do it. Like, the second episode really does that, where there's something that happens at the end of the game that you can totally screw up if you... didn't, like, just do some searching around people's rooms and stuff. It doesn't tell you to do that, and it doesn't even tell you that the information you're looking at is important until you realize at the very end that if you hadn't looked at and read any of that stuff, you would be in a very different situation than you are right now. And that's something that's really appealing to me in terms of, like, how choices are made and stuff like that. Like, that the game does all that stuff behind the scenes.
It is another episodic game, though, where it just seemed like, I mean... The first one came out in January.
Yeah, it'll be every 2 months for them.
Yeah, that seems really long. Like, I kind of wish that...
I mean, they did recaps here, at least.
Yeah.
I was able to play... Like, I remembered enough the first episode that I was able to play through the whole thing again leading up to the second episode, because I had missed, actually, a couple of, like, seemingly insignificant choices, so I went back and redid some of those. But it only took me, like, an hour or so to get through... Once you remember it. So if you ever needed to catch up.
Right.
I mean, of course, as more episodes come out, that may get longer and longer. It'd be a lot more work than it's worth. But I still think it's really worth playing. For sure.
I'll be playing that at some point. I just haven't been really motivated to play much of anything new, even though I have stuff to play. Anything else, though?
Just Dota, like always.
Dota.
Yeah. Dota.
So, I played Forza Horizon 2 Presents Fast and Furious.
I have not played that, but I've played Forza Horizon 2. That's amazing.
I blame Jeff for the fact that I am back playing Forza Horizon 2 as well, because there's so much to do in that game. And he seemed like he was having a good time, and... I jump back in, and I've been playing that, kind of like doing like a championship series, you know, every other day or so.
Does my car show up in your game, or what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, you're there, yeah. You show up in Forza Horizon, in Fast and Furious as well.
That's sweet.
Which is funny.
So is there like a campaign to it, like that involves like the licensed characters, or is it just like the cars from?
So yes, there is, and it's really weird because it is different on both 360 and Xbox One, because I played it on both. it's free, so there's, I mean, you can't beat free, right?
Sure.
But it is free, and it comes complete with 1,000 achievement points in both versions. So. Yeah. Being the achievement whore that I am, I
just
needed to
resist.
Play it in both. And I completed it on Xbox One. I'm missing one achievement, which is annoying me. I'll continue to try and get it. So you start the game, and it kind of picks up after Forza Horizon 2, which is, your character...
They're weaving Forza Horizon into the Fast storyline?
So, like, the Horizon Festival, yes, into it.
Oh my god,
awesome.
This is getting better and better.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Jeff, did you finish Forza Horizon?
I thought I completed it, and then, like, you told me, they're like, you're only halfway done with the game. I was like, dude, I put, like, fucking a lot of time into that.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so after you complete that other one,
It's literally half the game I beat.
But even if you only beat the first half of the game, it's basically... just say it picks up there, because you're the Forza Horizon champion at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like you're the champion, and Tej, played by Ludacris in the film, he is tasked by, I guess, Dom or somebody else, like Brian or somebody in the movie, for you to, like... He needs to get 10 cars and get them somewhere. And it all takes place in Nice, so it's on the Horizon 2 map, but it's only in, like, that very specific section of the Horizon map, so it's like a small segment of it.
Yeah.
It's like a sixth, I think, of the map. You're given tasks, like, go do this, and it's like a race, and you have to kind of prove to Tej that you're good enough to, like, work for him. And he'll give you updates. All the missions, though, are very straight up, like, Forza Horizon. Like, it's like, it's a point-to-point race. A lot of it is point-to-point races. There's not a lot of course races, because they're trying to keep with the street racing theme.
Yeah. I like and, those more anyways.
Yeah, they're fun, because it really is a sprint from one place to the other, and you don't have time to, like, fix up, you know, if you're racing in a track race, like, you make a mistake on the first lap, you can make it up by lap three or four. If you make a mistake on a point-to-point race, like, you could be out of it very early. And it's same thing here, so you're racing along, and then you start getting these missions to try and get these cars, and they generally are two-part missions where it's, like, do either win this race to prove that, like, the other guy will take you on, or you know, hit a certain speed on this road, or, you know, whatever. A bunch of different things that you can do in the world. And then the second part is always kind of like race against this car and win it. So you race against it, you drop it off the garage, achievement unlocks, you do that 10 times, you know, 400 points for the cars. All the other shit's really simple. There's a bunch of stuff in the world, though. Like, there's billboards to smash. If you smash all 20 of them, like, there's a special car you'll unlock. Like, everything that's in Forza Horizon 2 is in there, it's just on a smaller scale. And you have this weird story going on where you're collecting these cars for the Fast and Furious gang. And he'll make comments, like, when you get the Nissan GTR, like, he'll talk about his friend Brian that really has, he loves a car like that, and where he talks, like, when you get the, I think it's like a Charger, like the old 70s Charger that Dom drives in the movie, like, he'll, like, talk about that, he's like, take a picture of that for me, like, that's how they introduce photo mode, I'm gonna send this off to my buddy, like, it's really, really dumb and cheesy, but it's completely free, so can't really blame him.
It's hard to complain.
Right, it really is.
It's crazy that it's free to everyone, too, right? Like, not just
people. Yeah, anybody can get it.
So it doesn't require Forza Horizon 2, right?
No. It's a standalone thing. So
definitely get it, yeah.
It is a giant ad for Forza Horizon 2. Like, especially after you finish it, it's like, oh, if you enjoyed this, you could do more in Forza Horizon 2. And it, like, gives you three options to buy it, like, right there. In the game.
Oh, wow. So they're really pushing it.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I could see why. Like, it's an excellent demo. If you just do the story stuff, like the campaign stuff, it'll take you about maybe two and a half hours to complete. But, you know, there's 135 roads to find, like, to drive on. And that's not an achievement, but it is like another... Forza Horizon does is... Jeff, you know, like, there's counters for everything.
Yeah. Does that, though, like, include roads you found in the game itself, or is it, like, all...
No, it's separate? All separate. All of it's separate. None of that carries over.
This is getting me kind of sexed up.
It's fun. It's dumb, and it really is just, like, a two and a half hour demo that I've put 5 hours into. But,
hey, for free, that's a lot of value.
Yeah.
Was it limited time?
It's till the 10th, so you still have time.
And then it goes up to what, like $10?
It's $10, and I don't. I mean, maybe even then, like, I don't know. I paid more for less. You know, you can go in and there's online free roam. Like, you can play online with people and race in, like, this, you know, Nice area of the game. So, like, there's a full online multiplayer suite. There's the campaign, and there's tons of stuff to find. Like, it's kind of cool. So, that's that. Forza Horizon...
I might have to play that this week, honestly.
Presents Fast and Furious. It's a terrible name, but... and also, if you have signed up for the Forza Hub, which is the... I believe it's like an app on Xbox One. And that links your Forza career, so anything you played, all links in there. And this is one of the games that links into that, and you'll gain points to level up. And if you check that once a month, you'll get a reward in-game... It's generally some cash, like 500,000, 600,000 credits, depending upon like where your level is. Well, I mean, I've been playing Forza games since 2, so I am like one tier below the top. So if Jeff were to start now, like he probably wouldn't get 500,000, but he'd get something, which he could probably buy a car with in the game. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And at some point, I will try out Forza Horizon Storm Island, which is the expansion for Horizon 2. But I have so much left to play in that game, so... and I wanted to try out Neverwinter, but I did not get to do that yet. Don is playing that, though. And he is already level, like, 30 or something like that.
That's the MMO.
Yeah, the free to play Dungeons and Dragons MMO. I'm kind of interested in it. I want to give it a shot. Although at this point, Don was like, "I'll play with you." I'm like, "You're level 30." Like, and I mean, it only came out on Tuesday, but so obviously you can level up quickly. But I would think like a level 30 playing with like a level 1 would be completely mismatched.
Hmm.
Yeah, I want to try that out, though. That sounds pretty cool. And I think that's really about it. I should be playing a bunch of other shit, but...
Like, a lot of other stuff. Pillars of Eternity.
Yeah, well, I don't even have that yet.
Yeah, I don't have it yet either, but it looks awesome.
Yeah, it does. I saw a clip today of somebody playing as a party of bears.
Oh my god, now I'm sold. Holy shit.
That looked awesome. Yeah, so... That's kind of what I've been playing. I need to finish Zombie Army Trilogy. So I can review that. And I think that's it. Tony doesn't have any real news, but there was some stuff I guess we should try and talk about.
Yeah, I pulled up two things.
So why don't you hit us with what you have, and then I'll see if it matches up.
So the shorter one is that just happened today was that Sony acquired what's left of OnLive.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Which means they now own both of the quote unquote larger cloud gaming services out there, because they bought Gaikai years ago for PlayStation Now, and now they own parts of... Well, OnLive is dissolving and Sony is basically sucking up whatever assets they wanted from them.
I wonder what that would be, though, because OnLive almost went bankrupt like a year ago or so.
Right, they hardly had any users.
Right.
Yeah,
so
I
wonder what they actually bought here. Like what?
It says the terms under which the deal have not been shared, but Sony now owns several of their assets, including its U.S. and international patents on cloud gaming. So it might just be technology.
I wonder if there was maybe something... I wonder if maybe like they were Microsoft might have been looking into them and they were like, let's buy this away from them before Microsoft jumps in on them.
Maybe.
Well, now Sony is basically the home for that kind of stuff now.
I don't think that stuff had a home. I think it was homeless.
Well, sure.
Well, I mean that's not to say that Microsoft couldn't like introduce their own cloud system, like cloud gaming system, but they can't go out and purchase one, at least not one of the, you know,
Premier.
Premier, yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't
it's
say
like being the Premier Roach Motel.
Yeah.
Has anybody tried PlayStation Now?
No, I have not. I don't even have Plus right now.
After all, everything I heard about how bad it was, I don't think I would.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this tech will help. I don't know.
I like the idea of a subscription service, but $20 a month seems really high to me.
And for what is offered, like, is it mostly PS3 games?
For now,
yeah. That's right now. That's
yeah. Well, it's like, give me 1,000 PS2 games, and then maybe I'm sitting there going, okay, that's cool. Even then, I probably like no.
So like,
I
got
to play.
Well, right, like at $20 a month, like, is that worth it? Even if there were like 1,000, like. I mean,
it's more enticing.
It is more enticing.
I'd love to have access to the PS2's library, like not just 20 games that Sony deems are important to put on there, like their library. You know what I mean? That'd be awesome. But whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that stuff has a place. Like, I'm confused.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Well, yeah, like Jeff said, if they opened it up to like PS2 library, because they still don't have a lot of PS2 classics on the store right now, like compared to PS1, like that would be, I think, something that'd be way more attractive to people than games everyone's played a lot more recently.
Yeah.
Any of that stuff available on the PS4? Like, I mean, outside of PS Now, like, which is playable on everything, but are there any like PS2 games available on the PS4, or is that just PS3?
I'm not sure. I thought everything was available across both of them.
I'll have to check.
Yeah, did they have to, like, that would suck. Ugh.
Well, I assume, like, what's running on PS3, like, you'd have to come up with an emulator that would run on PS4, like, because they're different architectures, so...
True.
Anyway, what's your other piece of news?
Well, there was the Zelda delay. Which was talked about in the direct that came out, but it's kind of separate just because it's not necessarily good news.
They did talk about it?
Yeah, they basically said that meeting the 2015 release date was no longer their priority.
That was not the Nintendo Direct. That was like in a separate interview.
In a separate thing? Okay.
Yeah. Because I watched the Nintendo Direct waiting for them to address it, and I was like, they didn't say shit. They acted like it didn't exist. Like, there was no Zelda game. They didn't say shit about Star Fox either.
Which is weird, because they've confirmed that they're not showing Zelda at E3 anymore. Or they were never planning to, or whatever. But one would assume that Star Fox is now their premier title for this year.
You would think. I think they think it's Yoshi's Woolly World. I honestly think that's what they think is like their big game.
That's true. Yeah, there's Mario Maker. I mean, yeah, and then there was the Direct. I don't know if you wanted to get into that now, Chris, or if you wanted to talk.
Yeah, let's hit the Direct up.
Can we talk about the timing of their Direct? Because it is insane to have any sort of
April
major
Fools,
marketing push
right?
on April Fool's Day.
Now, see, here's the thing about Nintendo. I think they're so blind to internet culture that they didn't think about that, because in Japan it was already April 2nd, right? So, to them, they had avoided, quote-unquote, the April Fool's thing. Like,
right, but except that this is a presentation in English. Like, if they were doing the damn thing in Japanese, then sure, but...
they kind of play off the April Fool's fact of it. Like, if you went to the site before it started launching, it was like, this is no joke, it's not April Fool's, or whatever. Fucking, we are having a Nintendo Direct today with real shit. But the April Fool's joke was that it just all sucked, and it was all garbage.
Don't think that Nintendo thinks that far ahead. I think in their mind they were like, oh, we're releasing it on April 2nd. No one will think of it. Not, of course, even bothering to think of datelines and things like
that. It just shows how out of touch Nintendo is with the internet age.
Exactly. Yeah. But, so, I mean...
I'm just, I'm just happy they didn't do like a really mean April Fool's joke, like New Metroid 2D for Wii U. April Fool's, bitches! Ah, we're actually coming out with Animal Crossing Home Decorator.
Or Zelda isn't a priority for 2015 because it's coming out tomorrow.
Wait, wait.
Except it's not.
Wait, Jeff, did you just say Animal Crossing Homemaker?
Yeah, that sounds like a mobile game.
They're making an Animal Crossing Home Decorator game.
Oh, God.
For 3DS, or...
I think it's for 3DS. And, like, all you do is decorate houses in it.
So that's the new Animal Crossing game that I was hearing about?
Yes, you decorate houses.
I had thought it's maybe, like, they were saying, like, oh, I was hearing new Animal Crossing game, and I was thinking, oh, maybe they're bringing, like, an Animal Crossing to the Wii U or something.
That would be semi-exciting.
I could be behind. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be, like...
I don't know why, because I don't get that fucking game.
Like, dude, I was on board with Animal Crossing for the longest time, and now I'm just kind of like... It's the same thing every time, for one, and it's not much of anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
But if you told me it was coming to Wii U, I'd be like, fuck yeah, dude, I'll buy that. But this is just... We're coming out with a like stripped-down version of Animal Crossing for 3DS, where all you do is you decorate houses to like the animals' needs. They'll be like, I want a really retro whatever house. And then you have to like design it like that. That's all you do. Is like you don't leave the house. You design the fucking house.
That sounds terrible.
Yes.
Oh,
and all,
wow.
And it was all. Dude, I'm sorry to people that liked it, but dude, it was awful.
The director.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, 90% of this information, I was following it on Twitter. I was just complaining. It was so boring. Like. I mean, we can run through it first, I guess, and then do opinions and stuff. But
there were a few
Smash Brothers updates, basically, you know, Mewtwo, which we already knew was coming out. So anyone who registered both versions of Club Nintendo would get Mewtwo for free.
Okay, but if you didn't, did I hear that right? It's $4.
I'm not sure on the price, but he comes out on the 20th. He comes out like a week and a half later. Yeah, $4.
Wow.
Everyone else will be able to purchase it on the April 28th for $3.99 for one system or $5 for both systems. And then they're doing the same thing with Lucas, who will be coming out in June. And then they also announced that Mii Fighters will be getting new costumes as paid DLC, which... is not exciting in any way, shape, or form. In a weirdly like non-Nintendo move, there's like a form you can fill out to suggest who else they should add as DLC, which I imagine will be filled with 90% nonsense and maybe one or two suggestions that might actually...
Dude, fat hockey player.
That's right, I saw that.
is that one of the options?
You can fill it in, it's all blank.
You can just write it in, okay. So
yeah, it's not a drop-down.
Not like... I would love, like, if that was it, I would vote for the fat hockey player.
From ice hockey? Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
Because you know they'll make amiibos for all that shit, right? Like, I would buy a fat hockey player amiibo.
You could, like, spawn skinny and middle guy and throw them at people and shit. Aw, dude.
Yeah, well, keep going, because when we get to the amiibos, I think Tony has some commentary.
I got some commentary.
The Virtual Console has added DS and N64 games. So Super Mario 64 and Yoshi's Island DS are there for $10 a piece.
That's one of the few things I was actually happy about. Not, like, excited, like, oh my god, but, like, I've been kind of waiting for them to throw up N64.
It feels like a long time coming.
Yeah.
I will play Mario 64.
Plus, if you own it on Wii, I think it's like $2. So, which I did. I own like all the N64 games.
Oh, that I haven't turned my Wii U on. So is that what it is? I think
it's
own it. $2,
yeah. So for Mario 64, $2. The only reason I haven't downloaded it is because I've been busy with Bloodborne. But shit, I'll take that game again.
But when can we get GameCube games on there?
Right, right. Yeah.
It's
nothing about
weird.
That.
Like they're doing the reverse of Sony. Right, like Sony was like, let's have the more recent games, and Nintendo's like starting from the very beginning and moving forward in time.
they've been very like weird cherry picking what systems they put out in there. Like even the original Wii, like right off the bat, had like six systems. It was like Sega Genesis, dude. It had TurboGrafx-16 games off right off the bat. Like I remember, I forgot what the fuck I downloaded the first day.
Box Adventure.
Yeah, like something like that, and like Echo the Dolphin, like launch night, I downloaded Echo the Dolphin. You know what I mean? Like, and here, like with. They're doing okay support with it, like putting out cool games and shit, but it's like seems even slower than the original Wii and less systems.
Yeah. Then we had a bunch of release date stuff. They said Mario Maker will release in September. Woolly World will be in the fall. Splatoon is May 29th. And then there's an update to Codename Steam, which allows you to fast forward through enemy turns. And Puzzles and Dragons, the Super Mario Brothers edition, is getting a demo on April 30th. And that's
is
all.
That,
like,
is that a free game, or is that like going to come on a cartridge?
It will be down. It's an eShop game. Okay. Oh no, that's the demo. Sorry. It's a revealed January. The 3DS pack includes two games: Puzzles and Dragons Z and Puzzles and Dragons Super Mario Brothers Edition. I don't know. There's no information on how it's being released.
Because that is a free to play iOS game or Android game, right?
Yeah. Like. So, like all other iOS games, it'll be $30 as a pack box product.
Suckers.
Yeah. And then they announced a new Fire Emblem for 2016. They announced that the new Fatal Frame game is coming to the West, which is awesome because they
kind of neglected. I'm kind of interested in that, yeah.
So, I've never checked out that series, so.
The first two are really good, and then the third one is kind of shaky, and then they just stopped releasing them after Nintendo like started publishing them, and now this is the first one in maybe two or three entries that they've released. They're going to release out here.
Yeah, like I don't know whether to be excited about it or not. You know, I've never played any of them, but I've kind of like
I haven't either. Jeff. Like, I've heard they're like at least the first two are really good though. So
yeah, especially the second one.
Yeah, but also good for their time, I would imagine. Like PS2 era survival horror. Like, is it? You know, has it devolved into a fucking Silent Hill at this point? Like, you know,
it's a good question.
Hope not.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, the thing about Fatal Frame was always that like you didn't really have a weapon, right? It was you had the camera, like that was how you kind of fended them off. So it's at least unique in that genre. So that's
maybe they use the gamepad.
I mean, that would be the most like feasible thing you could think of, like using the gamepad as the camera.
Shit. That'd be nice.
Common sense doesn't always work for them. So.
It'll just be a blank screen. It'll be a map screen.
They released a small trailer for the Shin Megami Tensei Fire Emblem crossover, which I don't know. I don't actually know what kind of game that is or anything. I didn't even watch the trailer, but I know it sounded vaguely interesting when they announced it. It sounds very un-Nintendo. Anyways.
I know people were excited about it.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea. Fair enough. There's some Mario Kart 8 DLC. There's Animal Crossing DLC, which will be released on April 23rd. And then more unlockable Amiibo costumes. And then they're putting a special 200cc mode, which will be released in the same update. So I guess that's harder difficulty, right?
Yeah, it's 150cc is currently the hardest difficulty.
Faster, you know, as well.
Right.
It looked pretty damn fast, and like what they showed off of it. That's free. That's like a free update, so you don't even have to get the DLC, like if you don't want to. But I don't know why you would buy the DLC.
It's part of a title update. Title update will be that. That's what carries the Amiibo costumes. And speaking
and
of Amiibos, let's roll right into that fucking disaster. Which is all of the. I'm not even going to bother discussing all of the different ones that came up.
Disaster! Everyone ate that shit up. Like, oh my god!
Give me those Amiibos. I want them all.
Nintendo has gone full circle. They make cards and fucking toys again. Like, it's sad.
Oh god!
Yeah. So
because they've become so good at like artificially restricting their supply, I've seen people on my Twitter feed willing to eat other human beings in exchange for being able to order these goddamn things. Like, it's
and they're fucking useless.
Yes, that's
they are.
They're not even like you know, like Skylanders, where it's like you get that character. It's like that character's already in the game,
right?
You know, it's so stupid,
like,
dude.
I will say they are very well made toys. Like, I mean, statues, whatever you want to call them. And I do buy them on occasion and put them on my desk. But they are useless outside of that. And people go apeshit for them.
If you get that sweet Yoshi yarn one, you get a second Yoshi in the game. So you can play by yourself.
I do want those yarn Yoshi ones.
And now, to be fair, those are plush at least. So at least yeah. the excuse that you wanted is like a stuffed animal or something.
Yeah, I was like that's kind of cool.
Be cool to, like, put on a bookshelf or something, but like.
Yeah.
At the same time, like, the functionality in the Yoshi game is it gives you a second playable character, which you. It's basically like having a second player, but there's no second player there.
It's just like your amiibo plays with you?
Yeah. Which I guess really is weird. More functionality than it has probably in a lot of games, but
yeah.
whatever.
Dude. Yeah, because like in, what's it, Hyrule Warriors? All it does is give you like a random weapon that you can get on
and
a day-to-day basis.
Which are pretty terrible from what I heard. Like,
yeah, well, because
you want to use them.
Unless it's Link, Sheik, or Zelda... And maybe Ganon, so if it's like a Zelda-related amiibo, they give you garbage weapons, like levels 1 to 3 weapons, which are useless once you get past a certain point, so...
Yeah, but I mean, like, it was so bad that, like, GameStop had to cut off their online pre-orders and just tell everyone that they were only taking them in store now because they crushed the website.
I do need. Yeah. I do want to go and pre-order the Pac-Man one, just because I feel I need a Pac-Man toy.
You're part of the problem, Chris.
I know.
That's right. We're making fun of people like you right now.
Yeah.
You realize?
Are you gonna get the Splatoon ones?
I want that Pac-Man.
No, I'm not gonna get the Splatoon ones. No.
At least
I mean,
Charizard, man.
Yeah. I have. What do I have? I have a Bowser. Mario, Peach, Toad, Mega Man, and a Yoshi, and my son has a Pikachu. I think
Pikachu's
that might
really
be
the
it.
Only one worth getting. I mean, I'll be honest about that.
I'm very proud to say I have Jack and shit.
Fair enough. Now,
I've attempted, though. I've seen them, I'm like, I want that. Then I look at it, it's like, $12 for what?
Right, well, I mean, they are really well made, and they look cool, but they are totally useless.
Jeff, you know that Animal Crossing game is an NFC game, right?
Is it really?
Yes. Like, it's made for the 3DS, and you play it with cards. Like,
Yeah. See?
And how do you get these cards? Do they come in packs, or...?
It comes with the official Nintendo NFC reader, an attachment for any existing customer who hasn't updated to the new console will launch alongside the game. So I don't know if the game... I imagine the game is a cartridge, and then it comes with a bunch of cards. And how you can get new cards, God only knows. It'll probably
you buy them. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll probably be...
Buy them in a pack. They'll be a... Well,
they got
greedy. That's possible. But,
that would actually give the amiibos more function.
My guess is it's probably going to be like the Disney Infinity Power Discs, where I don't know if you guys are familiar with these, but the Power Discs are these alternate things that you add for Disney Infinity that aren't figures. They are these little crystal discs that you can put on the portal, and it opens up like certain things in the game. But they are random. And they come in like a baseball card type pack, and there's two to a pack, and they are $5 a piece.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. I bought one of those packs and was like, this is fucking insanity. And my son, I was like, we're not doing the discs shit. Like, that's nuts. I'll get you the figures. At least with Disney Infinity, though, like, each character was added into the game. Like, he could play with each one, so...
Yeah.
I don't get the whole... Nintendo couldn't sell a fucking console for, like, 3 generations, but all of a sudden they could sell these fucking stupid toys that do nothing.
They still can't sell a console.
That's
what I'm saying.
They don't need to.
I know, but I'm saying, like, they couldn't, like... here's our huge flagship console. They couldn't sell it, but these stupid toys that do nothing. I don't even know if they're the ones selling them, or if it's just like weird, strange, like collector's obsession, or what the fuck it is. But it's like their biggest thing they got going right now, and you can see it.
Pokemon into real life. Like eventually, they're just, you know, at some point they're just going to be like, here's all 150 Pokemon over the next like year. Be just different sets.
Probably, I would not be surprised whatsoever.
Collect them all for $700.
And you know there will be people that do it, though.
Oh, exactly. Like, and that's what, and that's the thing. That's, Nintendo knows that too now. Like, when they've seen that people go so crazy that they break GameStop over their leg and like give themselves ulcers over potentially like not getting them. Because like, of their artificial restraints.
But the thing is, they're overplaying this, in my opinion. Like, with, you just see what the shit they have coming out. Like, that's what got me angry about the Nintendo Direct. It's like, instead of taking that money and going, let's put out a good Metroid game or something, they're just like, we're gonna fucking put, like, a billion toys out there, and fucking, until it's like Guitar Hero, where there's, like, fucking landfills full of fucking plastic shit.
Sure, but, I mean, well, for one, at least you can display the Amiibos as figures or whatever, right? But, like, the amount of people who would buy a new good, quote-unquote, Metroid game is, like, 5% of the amount of people
who I understand that.
Overall. And, well, and that's the thing, like, I get, well, I
give,
understand,
throw
like,
me a bone, you know? Give me something.
Sure. Well, you
God were born
with Zelda,
they,
which took
they
away
don't want to throw you a bone, Jeff, because you haven't bought any Amiibos.
I bought all their fucking stupid systems and their games.
They don't care about that.
Yeah, they don't want
buy
you
their toys. Buy a Samus toy.
It
buy
makes me a little
Samus
upset.
Toys.
And it makes me sad that people will get behind, like, there's probably people out there who don't have these systems that are just buying the goddamn toys.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
I mean? 100%.
There's no way that they've sold this many Amiibos with only, like, 10 million systems on the market.
So yeah. Here's a question for you guys. How much of their conference at E3 do you think will be devoted to Amiibo-specific
It's all
things?
Amiibo. There's
so
not going to be anything. It's just
sales
be
numbers
Amiibo.
And then, like, release dates of, like, new figures coming out and
yeah.
things like that.
That's
I can't
what I'm
wait
saying.
To see, like, Reggie do his, like, spiel. And just
are they actually having a press conference this year, though?
Oh, that's right.
They,
last year
they haven't
had, have no
they haven't had one for the last 2 years. So.
It's only been two
they'll,
years.
They'll just have a direct that'll consist of a slideshow yeah. where they just keep showing
just
different
Amiibos. It'll be a 750 Pokemon.
Well, it'll be the robot chicken skit, but instead of Reggie calming everybody down with lightning, he'll just give them all Amiibos, and everyone will be satisfied.
Right. And here's one for you, and one for you, and one for you.
Oh yeah, that'll be $9.99 a piece, by the way.
Or right, charging for them after.
$13. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, that's all the news I can find now. Unless anyone else has fun stuff they want to talk about.
Well, Jeff sent me a text earlier with some other news. Quantum Break was delayed until 2016. To no one's surprise.
Yeah. Right. Had not heard anything about that game. Absolutely nothing.
There was recently like a 15-minute demo that came out.
Really?
Yeah, I think IGN had it or something. Of the game. It was like last month, like their IGN first thing or whatever, I think was Quantum Break. Let me see if I can find it here. But
I'm kind of okay with this.
It's like they just came out with this demo, like showing people the game, and then tripped over themselves and was like, oops, now we have to delay it again.
I'm kind of okay with this if they can, like, get it in shape. Because Microsoft, I personally think they still have the best lineup for exclusives, like, the rest of the year, so.
Well, they have, what, Halo in?
Halo in October 27th?
7th? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Rise of the Tomb Raider, Forza 6.
Which hasn't gotten delayed yet. I'm talking about the Tomb Raider.
I don't think it will. I think Quantum Break moving out of there is probably why. Yeah, because Rise of the Tomb Raider will probably be November. Forza will be September. Halo is October. So there's your 3 months. You have one big game each month. Fable Legends? It's free to play, but it'll be spruced in there somewhere. Yeah, I think that they're kind of set. I don't think we're going to see any delays. We're not going to see Crackdown this year, though. Like, people were kind of saying that that was going to be coming out.
By the way, I was wrong. That demo came out in October of last year. I don't know why I thought that was recent at all. But yeah, there's still like 15 minutes of it out there, if you're curious about what it looks like.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's, people are now making the joke that like 2014 was becoming 2015. Now 2015 is becoming 2016.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to Chris earlier, man.
We're every game is just slowly like moving over. And
when there are rumors that, I mean, Batman was pushed 3 weeks to like the end of June, right?
Yeah, after being delayed 8 months.
Yeah, but I heard, I don't know how true this is because evidently the post got taken down, but a UK gaming site, this was being talked about on Rebel FM, a UK gaming site had put up that that game is going to be delayed until November.
That was like the big summer release too. So if that goes, there's literally nothing to play.
What, Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys have to play Hearts of Iron 4 with me. That's all.
Well,
you just have to play PGA Tour, baby. That's my big preference. Yeah.
Witcher 3 is in May, and evidently that's 200 hours long.
Right.
So.
Not so for me. Game.
It's gonna be with, 0 hours for me.
With nothing else going on, I'll play that.
Wow, like people are saying now, it's a good year to get through your gaming backlog.
Yeah,
but that's what last year, dude. Like it's starting to like this generation. It's starting
time
to feel like
a flat circle.
Yeah, it's like and like think of the last generation. Like 2 or 3 years in, you had Gears of War, you had Elder Scrolls, you had fucking BioShock, like all these like kind of mostly new franchises, or like, you know, even with Oblivion, it wasn't a new franchise, but like most people didn't know it before then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, to be fair, there's still E3, right? Shit. So E3 kind of dictates the pace of the rest of the year. We still have Halo, we'll still have Call of Duty, we'll still have, you know,
I'm just saying, what's
whatever.
What's the new games? What's this generation? Like, is this generation just all shit that has already been done?
Yeah, I mean, if you want new IPs and new games, you should probably start looking at indie titles and smaller games and stuff like that. Like and Axiom Verge and whatever. Like, new AAA. You know, I mean, you got, like, The Order, right? And look at that. And
so I'm saying, like, that's not one that's going to
come on. I mean, say what you will, like, Destiny was a new IP that, like, did massive numbers. Dying Light was a new IP.
I totally forget about Destiny, like, all the time.
I mean, those games are out there.
But no, I'm saying, where's your Gears of War? Where it's not like, yes, Dying Light's a new IP, but dude, it was okay. But where's the game that's like, that's what this generation is? It's that game. Is it Titanfall? Because like that's the closest thing I've seen to it, and I don't even like that game.
I hope it's not Titanfall.
Yeah, it's like,
me too. Because as good as Titanfall is, there aren't that many people interested.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like it didn't exactly like break the bank.
No, I mean, like, I'm looking right here, like, at games that I haven't sold, like, Alien Isolation, like, alright, it's in a universe that's had games before, but it was something new and different.
I'm not saying just something that, I'm saying that, like, a game that's, like, generation
different. I don't know if you're gonna get that type of game, though, because I don't think that the systems are that big of an upgrade over the 360 and PS3s.
This is what I've been saying all along.
Like, I mean,
like, you don't have to, like, you should wait to upgrade to the last possible second. So it's a game you absolutely must have, because you might as well play Wolfenstein on 360 or whatever, anything.
I don't know, Beth. Like, I played Forza Horizon. Like, I played both Forza Horizons. There is a noticeable dip in quality playing on the 360 going from the Xbox One.
Now, what about, guys, we're just talking about it, like, Fast and the Furious or Forza Horizon. When we're talking, like, game to define the new generation.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, but I
is
mean,
it
like,
a matter of different developers on each one, so it's just slightly different, or, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, it looks like garbage compared to the Xbox One version. Like, it is noticeably lower quality. And, like, even with, like, so they're bringing Dark Souls 2, right? Like, that comes out next week on PS4 and Xbox One. It's a game that came out last year on Xbox 360 and PS3. This version is pretty much doubling the frame rate and upping the resolution to actual HD on both systems. Like, that's you know, that is something different, but that's the kind of upgrade you're going to get. Like, slightly better looking and higher resolution, better frame rates on things.
Okay, like, well, even if you're working within the same parameters of kind of what you could do, like, where's that new franchise? Like, where's the... You know, it's just something to be like, all right, this wasn't on 360. This is something new.
I think
Bloodborne is still Dark Souls. Is it? It's 2 years in.
Yeah, and everything I think expecting a game like Halo, which launched with the Xbox and things like that, like that doesn't happen anymore. And I think because people are still trying to get used to what works and what doesn't in these systems.
I see what Jeff is saying, though. Like, PlayStation had, you know, like, well, Xbox first had Gears, and then PlayStation followed that up with Uncharted. We haven't gotten that game yet, but
sure. We haven't even gotten sequels to those games. But yeah, exactly. Like, where is that new franchise?
Where is Mass Effect? I want that.
Yeah, exactly. Where is, this,
like the new Mass Effect though. You don't want Mass Effect 4. You want
I want like the game that did to me what Mass Effect did to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
2 years in. Almost.
I mean,
it's not 2 years until November, so we have a lot of year left. Yeah. I mean, even Mass Effect didn't come out for, 2 years?
Sure, and it wasn't really until Mass Effect 2 that people sort of got swallowed by the fervor of that franchise anyways.
I would not agree with that at all, but...
I was on board with Mass Effect 1.
Yeah, that first game blew me away.
I guess a lot of people
The second game, I will agree that the second game is better in nearly every way. But that first game did things that had never been done before. And
oh, sure, yes.
Blew the doors off the building in terms of the concept of that kind of game.
But, I mean, I think, you know, E3, maybe? Hopefully something comes out of that, because if not, then yeah, I mean...
I'd be happy for Fallout 4 at this point. That's another, you know, sequel.
You're not going to get Fallout 4 this year.
No. No Man's Sky. Maybe that will help us. Maybe it's going to be something.
That looks cool. It really does look.
But that's still a smaller team. Like I was saying before, like if you want, I am wondering though,
Pete, if you're kind of right on that though, because all these bigger companies, like
they're just playing a lot.
But it's a lot of money to go out and put out a new game. Like, look at Evolve. That's something brand new, and it bombed. Like, it tanked hard.
Yeah.
Like, that is a brand new franchise, and nobody was on board with that. Like, I get it, it's multiplayer, but...
Like, I mean, their DLC structure probably turned a lot of people off, too. But yeah, I mean...
Yeah,
sure. It had a lot of good hype like going in, like, with gameplay... Yeah. Stuff and nobody cared in the end. Like, I don't see anyone ever playing it.
But you look back at like Microsoft and Sony at the launch of the last consoles, and they put their energy behind these new franchises. They put a lot behind Gears,
sure.
And now they're all putting it behind established franchises. They're not. None of them are stepping up and taking the risk. And
I mean, Sony and Microsoft's had to. You know, kind of delays, like Quantum Break just got delayed. But, I mean, Sony put out The Order. It did not light the world on fire, but they definitely got behind it. They did Drive Club. That didn't light the world on fire. They just had some misses.
It lit itself on fire.
Yeah, Drive Club lit itself on fire.
Microsoft had that Insomniac game that I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, Sunset Overdrive was a lot of fun. Like,
there's been attempts.
Sure.
Right. It's just nothing's clicked. Trying. I mean, that's when Jeff's saying, like, they're not, I don't think it's for lack of trying. like, those games are there. It's just they're not hitting in the same way. Like,
I mean, there was Titanfall, you know, by the guys who made Call of Duty and stuff like that. And that game came and went, like, you know, like, in, what, a couple of months?
But I also...
one of those multiplayer-only things, too.
I do wonder if some of that is just, like, our mentality towards things, too. Like... Hey, that came out last month, so it's old news. Like,
right.
We've moved on. Like, and I mean, Tony and I and Don and Fozzie played Titanfall all year long.
Right.
But...
Speaking of which, should I play Child of Light? I know it's last year's news, but...
It's okay. I didn't love it. Like, I know lots of people really did enjoy it. I'd say play Valiant Hearts if you have the choice.
Yes, God, yes.
I played through chapter one of that. That game is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I just never got back to it because of
it's not that long either. Chapter one is like the longest chapter.
I mean, but just kind of like back on like Shadow of Mordor though, like that was a brand new. Like, I mean, it took place in Lord of the Rings, but it was kind of like a brand new attempt at something and.
I think you may be right, Chris. It may just be that we don't consume games the way that we did back then. And so now it's impossible to have that kind of hit because we're not going to play that thing and get obsessed with it.
Right.
It just doesn't happen anymore.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there is less new games making a mark.
Sure. I mean, like, because, like, look at, like, EA. Like, they're going to throw their money behind the stuff that they know is going to sell. Because they're a huge company and they have to. Like, these games are, you know, it's no longer like, you know, $5-10 million. We're talking $30-50 million to put some of these games out.
But just that rival movies at this point.
Right, and they need to make that money back. And they're selling to a small percentage of the user base. Like, I think we did the math a couple years ago, though, where it's like, you know, you look at Gears or at Uncharted, and they sell about 5-6 million copies, and that's considered huge, right? Like, that's a huge hit. And that's selling to, like, less than 10% of the entire install base. And with these consoles, like, there's even less. Like, you're talking 20 million PlayStations, maybe 12-13 Xboxes. Like, that's a huge investment for less return. I do hope we get those games, though. I really do.
You know, for all the stuff that you've been saying about like how people consume games and sort of the lack of, you know, the majority that doesn't buy them, these companies are still at least trying to make games like that. You know, perhaps hoping they can break through that barrier instead of going through and just, you know, throwing in their piles of like mobile games and things like that. They're, you know, we'll still get something like Fallout 4, even though only maybe 5 million people will buy Fallout 4.
Right.
Stuff like that.
I don't know. I don't know where we're at with this. It's been a weird generation, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not on the full hate train like Jeff seems to be, but
I'm still having a good time with the video games, man. I mean, I'm excited. You know, Metal Gear's coming out later this year. Stuff like
I'm quite excited for Metal Gear.
Like,
you know,
I may be really excited for fewer things, but those things I just get even more excited about that because they're few and far between.
I mean, I'm super pumped for Battlefront to come
yes.
out.
Oh my god, yes! The trailer should be later this month.
Give me new Star Wars.
Yes.
I kind of wish Visceral had their Star Wars game ready to go, but
I wonder if we'll see something about that at E3, or if they'll just put that on hold up until Battlefront comes out to not sort of cannibalize themselves.
Probably. I'm just hoping that, like, I'm glad Visceral has that on tap, because I think that if they did not, they might not exist anymore.
For sure.
Because Battlefield Hardline did not, from what I hear, did not do so great. So. No.
I mean, when people refer to it, they refer to it as a reskin Battlefield. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. So, Quantum Break delayed. I think that's really about it in terms of big news. No. Think that you guys didn't hear anything else, right? There was nothing coming out of Sony outside of that weird purchase.
No,
there was the Halo live action trailer. If anybody saw that,
I saw the CG one that premiered. What was it? Or not premiered, but it was during Flash or something. I think it's when I saw it.
There was a live action trailer during The Walking Dead, which was actually kind of cool. So.
I don't watch Walking Dead, so I didn't see it. But the little like two minute thing I saw, I just, I don't know, it didn't make me care which means I'll probably still wind up playing Halo in the end anyways.
I'm interested in it. It looks like it's kind of like going to be a split story like Halo 2 was, where you're going to play part as this Sergeant Locke or Captain Locke or whatever, and the other part you'll play as Master Chief. So
I really hope that the live-action trailer... Is that like him under the statue and stuff, like Master Chief's coming towards him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I hope that's just like the end of the game, and they just like they're like psych, just put the whole thing out there for you guys.
Well, and like we, you know that Locke survives though, because he's the guy who plays him has already kind of said that he is signed on to do more Halo.
I mean he has to team up with Master Chief in the end.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you know they got to finish the fight again.
Exactly.
Again.
Once finish more. The other again, fight. Again.
Jeff, are you going to install Halo Master Chief Collection?
Maybe.
I have it installed.
We should
I heard
play
the new
that.
Update fixed some stuff. Kind of.
I mean, I've been able to play it for the last few months, so...
Okay.
It's better. It's a little bit faster now.
I'd almost more be interested in playing campaign shit, though.
Like, I'd play campaign. We should... I mean, did Fozzie get Halo? If Fozzie got Halo, we could play four-player Halo and go for, like, the legendary achievements.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that.
I'm down for that. All right. We'll be back next week. I don't know with. Maybe we'll talk about Games of March. Maybe. It might be a little early for that, though. And maybe we'll look at some news and see what's up. Jeff, say goodnight.
Yes. Goodnight.